Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Peter Sagal. When President Obama was elected, he promised the most transparent, ethical administration in history. And true to his word, they obey the law to the letter, do everything ethically, and make sure all procedures are followed. In fact, they're so busy being transparent, they don't have time to tell us what they are doing. We'll ask what we shouldn't worry our pretty little heads about, plus Dallas's own Erykah Badu tells us about all the hats she wears. And Carl Castle lets me know that we won't be going out together after the show.
I am not in the mood for love.
We'll help you get in the mood, but first you have to wait until after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. The blizzard of 2013 is now officially in the record books. The snowfall in several northeastern states has made the top 10, with some places hitting 3 feet. As NPR's Tovia Smith reports, cleanup and repairs to power lines could take days.
From New York up to Nova Scotia, crews are digging out roads and in many areas, abandoned cars. Hundreds of vehicles remain buried on the Long Island Expressway. Meantime, ice, in some places a foot thick, is hindering cleanup. In Newton, Massachusetts, even the plows had trouble.
I can't go down. I'm stuck.
Bad. I just got stuck on ice.
Meantime, coastal communities are literally under icy water and without power in the freezing cold. Utilities say the heaps of snow and high winds made repairs difficult, but crews now are, quote, hitting it hard and hope to have most lights back on by tomorrow or Tuesday. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Newton, Massachusetts.
Los Angeles police will review disciplinary proceedings that led to the firing of an ex-LAPD cop who is eluding authorities. He's suspected of killing 3 people. From member station KPCC, Stephanie O'Neill reports.
Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck issued a written statement Saturday announcing the LAPD will reopen its case into the firing of Christopher Dorner, the 33-year-old suspect in a killing spree that so far left one police officer and 2 other people dead. In a manifesto allegedly written by Dorner and posted on Facebook, the fugitive ex-cop says he was fired after reporting police brutality by a fellow officer. Beck says he's ordering a complete review of the file, including a re-examination of evidence and witnesses to assure the public that the LAPD is transparent and fair. The LAPD also announced on Saturday night that it's creating a multi-agency task force to assist in the search for Dorner. For NPR News, I'm Stephanie O'Neill.
General Joseph Dunford is the new commander of NATO troops in Afghanistan and of the U.S. military presence there. In a ceremony in Afghanistan today, Dunford thanked his predecessor, General John Allen.
Today we're saying goodbye to a great commander, and we're changing command. But today is not about change, it's about continuity. What's not changed is the will of this coalition. What's not changed is the discipline in the spirit of the team.
Dunford takes over as President Obama declares that this spring, Afghan troops would assume much of the security responsibility for their country. It's not clear how quickly this will speed the withdrawal of the remaining 66,000 U.S. troops there. They're supposed to return home at the end of next year. In Tunisia, members of the leading secular party pulled out of the ruling Islamist-led government today. It's the latest event in Tunisia's evolving political crisis that took a deadly turn last week when a senior politician was murdered. This is NPR. Concerns about China's worsening smog problem appear to put a damper on some Chinese New Year celebrations last night. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, fireworks in Beijing and Shanghai seemed more subdued than the year before.
Although fireworks in Beijing reached their usual war zone level at midnight Saturday, they began later and ended earlier. City officials modestly cut the number of fireworks vendors this year and said sales were down by more than a third. Lighting fireworks is an ancient tradition at Chinese New Year, designed in part to ward off evil spirits. But the Beijing government urged citizens to show restraint after the air in China's capital turned toxic in January, leading some to label the city unlivable. Fireworks also seen more restraint in Shanghai compared to 2012, when they enveloped the city's skyscrapers in a shroud of gray smoke. Even with fewer pyrotechnics, air pollution levels doubled between midnight and 1 a.m., according to state-run Shanghai Daily. Frank Langford, NPR News, Shanghai.
The family of late Penn State football coach Joe Paterno has released a report. It contradicts the findings of an earlier report on the child sex abuse scandal involving his former assistant, Jerry Sandusky. The commission report says the earlier investigation was fundamentally flawed and incomplete. The first report was commissioned by Penn State and was led by former FBI Director Louis Free. He says his report was accurate and found four Penn State officials, including Paterno, failed to stop a child sexual predator. The 55th Annual Grammy Awards will be held tonight in Los Angeles. The host will be actor and rapper LL Cool J. Performers include Elton John, Taylor Swift, and Mumford & Sons. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Personal Capital, offering investment advice for the digital age and where investors can manage all their finances in one place at personalcapital.com.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in Dallas, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, everybody. Stop now. Thank you.
We do have a great show for you today. We've got musician Erykah Badu, born and raised here in Dallas. She'll be joining us later on to play our game. But first, can I say, coming to Texas isn't just a pleasure for us. It is a repayment. You guys here in Texas have done so much for our show. You've given us bizarre crimes, crazy politicians, lunacy as a lifestyle. You guys are like the Florida of the United States. And we are grateful. If you out there would like to give thanks to the good people of Texas for their sacrifice, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Andrew Norton from Taylor, South Carolina.
Hey, how are things in South Carolina, Andrew?
The weather is crazy. It was 70 yesterday and 40 today.
That means it's the end of the world. Yeah. What do you do there?
I'm a youth pastor, and I'm finishing up grad school.
Oh, really? Grad school in youth pastoring?
In pastoral studies, so close.
Oh, okay. You'll be a doctor of pastoral studies.
Yeah, well, just a master's.
You'll be a master of pastoral studies. You'll be a master pastor.
I will be.
Well, welcome to the show, Andrew. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a comedian performing February 23rd at the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's Paula Poundstone right there.
Hey. Yeah, Paula.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're my favorite host, my favorite panelist.
Oh, thank you so much. Boy, when you almost said favorite host, you should have seen the look on Peter's face.
Oh, yeah. Next up, author, humorist, and a man who blogs an unhealthy amount at cartalk.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Andrew. Even though I know I'm not your favorite.
You're
analyst,
my second favorite, though.
All right.
Still, a hearty hello.
And even though you may not have been aware she was here and listening to all this, it's a senior editor and columnist at the Houston Chronicle of Texas, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
not that nuts about you either, Andrew.
That's all right. We love you, Carrie.
Andrew, you ready to play?
Now, I am.
You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Of course, Carl Castle is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, identify or explain them two times out of three. Do that. You will win our prize, Carl's voice on your voicemail.
All righty.
All right, here we go. Here is your first quote.
Weather forecast here in Colorado includes a 30% chance of snow with light afternoon drone strikes.
That was PJ Media editor Stephen Green talking about the news that the U.S. government has claimed the power to launch a drone strike at whom?
U.S. citizens.
Yes, pretty much. Anyone. NBC News uncovered a White House report explaining its justification for launching Predator drones at anybody they like, including American citizens, wherever they like, whenever they like. The entire document is just the words, "Don't worry, we got this." The Obama administration has made the use of drones against American citizens legal, which, if nothing else, will result in an exponential increase in the number of people whose last words are, "Hey, what's that thing?" Did you know, actually, that Charlottesville, Virginia, where I believe you're going to be soon, Paula,
yes,
has declared itself a drone-free zone?
No!
It's true. The first city to do that. You can't use drones. Sorry, we say no.
Yeah, this is just going to attract a lot of ne'er-do-wells. Charlottesville, someone's going to do something just heinous and then just run to the other side of the Charlottesville border.
Exactly. You know, if the president does start using drones domestically, which he could do, he's claimed the right to do whatever he wants.
I do think about those commercials where there's some, you know, really burdened-looking housewife who says, "Can you get this spot out?"
Boom!
Yeah, it would certainly, because when you said domestic, that's how I think of domestic.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, domestic drone, that's what my father was.
Yeah. Yeah, the truth is, anybody who's listened to Wolf Blitzer for a few minutes knows we're already using drones.
Andrew, here is your next quote.
"This is a parking lot. No burying of dead monarchs."
That was from a picture of a sign that Prince Charles tweeted. The sign is supposedly in a parking lot in England, which really did turn out to be the final resting place of whom?
Richard III.
Yes, indeed, it was. Big news this week for history and Shakespeare buffs. The body of Richard III, famous hunchbacked evil king of England, was positively identified by DNA sampling. Where do they get the DNA to test it with? Simple. They took it from the scenery chewed by every actor who's played Richard for 400 years.
Okay, so was he buried, or he just sort of fell down there and then they paved
him? Well, that's the thing. I mean, how did he get in the parking lot? Maybe he wasn't killed in battle. He just forgot where he parked. You know, he's walking around. He's going, "It was a blue horse. Where is it? Has anybody seen a blue horse? Damn, there are a lot of blue horses here." No, the idea was, as you may have heard, Paula, is that he was apparently buried in a churchyard. The church was destroyed about 80 or 100 years later. And then over the full course of time, a parking lot was built. And somebody figured all this out and said, "Dig here." And they found him down there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who figured it out?
The Richard III Society, as well as some archaeologists. The Richard III Society, by the way, wants him to be rehabilitated. They think that Shakespeare, among many other writers, have slandered him. It's propaganda for the Tudors, that he really wasn't that evil. They want to rehabilitate him. In fact, their next move is going to have Oprah interview the corpse. His remains that they retrieved from the parking lot had a lot of wounds. Some of them were from battle. Some of them were dings from shopping carts. There was a post-mortem wound in his head that was mysterious. But then they found a note. It said, "Hey, I accidentally backed into your skull. As soon as they invent phones, please call this number." Very honest person. And did you hear this? Now we found the remains of King Richard III. Where are we going to bury him? And some people are saying they should bury him in Westminster Abbey, where the kings of England tend to be buried. And Queen Elizabeth apparently has said no, she won't allow that. Man, that woman holds a grudge.
Well, you know, wasn't he already buried?
He was.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Put him back.
In the parking lot.
Why not? Yeah, once they're dead, I don't...
You think they don't
care? Yeah, I'm not big into the burial thing. You know, my kids want to cremate me, and I am begging them to wait.
Andrew, your last quote is some bad news that comes from the TMZ website.
That Bed, Bath, and Beyond coupon will just have to wait until Monday.
That was a sad comment on the fact that what will not be happening on Saturday anymore?
The mail.
The mail, right. No more mail on Saturdays. Starting in August, the USPS will no longer be delivering mail on Saturday. You have to feel for the post office, right? They're in a bad way. They are forced by law to provide a service that fewer and fewer people actually use anymore because they've outgrown it. We're emailing everything now. Imagine a hospital forced by federal law to treat everyone with leeches.
I love the post office.
I do, too.
I do, too.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of not... I don't know what we need to do to fix it. I'm not so good with budgets myself. But I, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I still write letters and people still write letters to me. And I get excited about my grandmother sending me $10 in my birthday card.
And sometimes they're tool catalogs.
Yeah, that's true. Carl, how did Andrew do in our quiz?
Andrew, you had a perfect game. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Yes. Andrew, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, it turns out that while we are watching Netflix, Netflix is doing what?
Watching us.
Exactly right. This is true. Netflix's first original series just came out. It's a political thriller starring Kevin Spacey and directed by David Fincher. Why? Because their vast user database told them that Netflix watchers like Kevin Spacey, political thrillers, and David Fincher. This is true. They know everything about us. They know what we watch, when we watch it, and even, this is true, what we rewind back to watch again.
This, yes. I don't believe it. Then why isn't there a tool show with Penelope Cruz? Is it just me?
You may be an outlier, Tom. Just saying.
I would like to have a show where there is a section of the screen in a cat shape that isn't used.
So the cat could just sit in front of that.
Right.
And not block anything.
Exactly. Preferably with its butt sticking out towards you.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I'm a little lazy once I've sat down. I'm like, I'm not getting up to move that cat.
Coming up, an aphrodisiac bluff the listener game, so get comfy. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play, and Erica Badu joins us to play Not My Job. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations, and Charles Schwab providing retirement options for a tomorrow that is wide open. Learn more at schwab.com/retirement. Ancestry.com providing online genealogy tools for solving the puzzles of family history. Learn more at tryancestry.com. And Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. Thank you.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Kyrie O'Connor, Tom Baudette, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in Dallas, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Greg. I'm from Swarthmore, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi, Greg. What do you do there in Swarthmore?
I'm a psychologist.
Oh, really? You do therapy? You listen to people's problems all day?
We try and fix them, yeah.
I understand. Do you ever find yourself just wanting to say, would you just get over it? Stop your whining.
That's why I go for a run at the end of the day.
I understand. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Greg's topic?
I'm not in the mood for love, Peter.
Aw. For many people, Valentine's Day is just an obnoxious reminder of how crazy un-in love they are. But this week, our panelists are going to read you three stories of people going to extreme lengths to bring romance to those not in the mood for love. Guess the true story, and you will win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. You ready to go?
I am.
Let's hear from Paula Poundstone first.
Third grade teacher Judy Plott and Sam Steiner met at a party in their small town of Lewisdale, Minnesota. Sam had never met anyone more beautiful and interesting in his life. Judy didn't remember meeting Sam at all until he showed up in front of her apartment a few days later, where she declined his offer to go for a drink. That evening, her pink dot grocery delivery man handed her two cans of whipped cream that she hadn't ordered, saying, "Sam Steiner is a great listener." "At first I thought it was kind of funny," says Judy Plott. "It was little weird stuff. I found a mailer in my mailbox from Mike's Carpet Cleaning offering 10% off on cleaning any carpet Sam Steiner had walked on." When she stopped off to pick up her dry cleaning, she found a teddy nestled in between the sweaters she had dropped off. Plott was shocked to receive an email claiming to be from ChristianMingle.com that said God, making a rare exception, wanted to hook her up with Sam Steiner, a wonderful Jewish man. "I'm telling you, everyone in this town was a soldier in the fight to get this guy laid," says Plott. "When my third grade students started turning in extra credit projects that I had never assigned that included papier-mâché sculptures of Sam and I holding hands and an essay entitled Loving Sam, Every Woman's Dream, I contacted the police."
An entire town tries to bring a couple together. Your next story of somebody getting their groove back comes from Kyrie O'Connor.
You've got to hand it to Vladimir Putin. The Russian premier, known for his strange bare-chested photo ops, has hatched a plan to build up the sadly sagging Russian birth rate. This week, he staged a gala concert in Moscow by the 90s R&B trio Boys to Men, known for such romantic ballads as End of the Road and, of course, I'll Make Love to You. See, if you hear a lot of Boys to Men's 20-year-old hits, you'll get all swoony, rush home, and ditch the birth control for a night of passion. Because a night of passion is so worth than throwing up for 3 months and then getting a hugely distended abdomen and then going through 12 hours of excruciating pain and then not sleeping ever for the rest of your life.
Vladimir Putin brings in Boys to Men to increase the Russian birth rate. Your last story of somebody bringing sexy back comes from Tom Baudette.
The muskox herds of Nunavut, Canada, are the pride of the nation, having been brought back from near extinction in the 1950s to a population of over 100,000 today. So, when Canadians learned that the muskoxen had mysteriously stopped mating, they were upset. "I'm upset," said Maria Ogden of Montreal. "Those are the hairy ones that stand in a circle, eh?" said Prince George truck driver Chris Smith. "They are the hairy ones who stand in a circular defense formation when threatened, and that's exactly what the cows have been doing, heads facing out with the business ends of their mating equipment hidden from the frustrated bulls stomping and grunting around the perimeters. If this sounds like your junior high school experience too, then you'll understand the inspiration for the actions the government took to save the situation. Just as defensively crouched herds of pre-adolescent females will eventually shove one of their own out onto the dance floor to be picked off by some pimply kid with matted hair, the Canadians had Army Special Forces paraglide into the circle of reluctant cows and goose one from behind until she bolted out into the waiting embrace of some matty-haired bull. Simultaneously, the soldier would blow a horn imitating the muskoxen mating call. This had the same effect as the group of human girls shouting, "She really likes you," as as they cast their friend into the dance.
All right, then. Here are your choices. From Paula Poundstone, the story of a whole town which all got together and did everything they could to get a girl interested in a particular boy. From Kiri O'Connor, Vladimir Putin taking a personal role in trying to bring up Russians' birth rate by bringing in boys to men to get everybody in the mood. Or from Tom Baudet, how the Canadian government managed to break up the protective circle of female musk oxen. Which of these is the real story of people trying to give romance a chance?
Well, as much as I think the Canadians are in love with their musk oxen, and the first one just sounds a little too creepy. So I'm going to go with the Russian.
So you're going to go with Kiri's story of Vladimir Putin bringing in boys to men just to bring a romantic mood to the frozen steppes of Russia. All right, well, to bring you the real story, well, let's listen to this. My God, they're grappling in the aisles of the Opera House. They do have a powerful effect. That was Boys to Men, who played a concert in Moscow this week. You picked the correct story, and you have won Carl's voice on your home voicemail. A typical story. Congratulations, you did well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now the game where we ask people who have done amazing things with their lives and talent to completely waste their lives and talent just for a few minutes.
Sure.
When singer Erykah Badu was a student at the High School for the Performing Arts directly across the street from this theater here in Dallas, we are certain that she used to gaze across the street and say to herself, "Someday I'm going to be in a theater that won't be built for some decades, performing on a public radio news quiz." Happy to say her dream has come true. Erykah Badu, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much.
Now, the story I have been telling is true, that you attended high school across the street.
I did, from 1985 to 1989.
Right, and this was a high school for the performing arts?
It still is.
Yeah. You weren't Erykah Badu then, you were Erykah Wright?
I am.
You still are, but how did you come across the name Badu for your performance?
When I used to do cabaret in Deep Ellum here in Dallas.
Yeah.
A rich history of blues in the city. I used to sing jazz, cabaret, and my scat would be Badu, 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 and it stuck.
Wow. And that isn't the only name that you've performed under, though,
no.
Right? What are the other names you performed under?
Erykah Badu, Fat Belly Bella, She Eel, Manuela Maria Mexico, sometimes.
Are you on the lam?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite?
She Eel.
She Eel?
She Eel.
But she'll get better?
Yeah.
She Eel. It's like she's dope.
Right.
She's fresh.
Okay.
She's cool.
I haven't understood a word you've said. I am a white Jewish boy from central New Jersey. I am not hip to this Texas stuff you're speaking
of. It's okay. I'll be patient with you.
Okay, I understand. Sure. So you're it's good. You're fresh. You're cool. You're down. You're hip. You're groovy, as I understand the kids say.
That's excruciating,
Mostly
Peter.
Mostly ill.
Yeah. So your music is not what I would think of, being an ignorant person not from here, as Texas music. I hear some soul. I hear some blues. I hear some hip-hop.
Yeah.
But you have done a lot of other things as well as sing. You, like, for example, we know that you like dabbled in comedy, or you still do, right?
I do. I'm doing it now.
You're doing comedy?
Right now.
I'm dabbling.
You're dabbling. You used to work for the comedian Steve Harvey, right?
I did. I was his. I started out as a waitress at his club. He had a club here some years ago called Steve Harvey's Comedy House, and then I went from being a waitress to reception.
And then the ticket booth. Then I kind of snuck my way backstage and I made up a role so I could keep going on stage doing stuff.
Yeah.
And he just kind of gave in at one point and he allowed me to write and share ideas with him.
Right.
And,
so you were writing jokes for Steve Harvey?
Well, it's really one joke that he used. You know, all the other stuff, I don't know what happened to it. I think that stuff went to Chris Rock.
I understand.
But there's one joke that we wrote where we had these cue cards and we would write this really long word and put it up on a easel and have the audience try to pronounce the word.
Okay.
And what we explained is that this word is actually a phrase that black people use that you wouldn't understand. And if you understand it, you win a prize.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them was Al from way from. Al from way from.
I wouldn't win that prize. Al from way from.
And if they didn't get it right, then I would get a chance to put it in a sentence.
So can you put that in a sentence?
Get Al from way from round them cars.
That's pretty good. So you've made some great videos in your time, and there's one video for your song Window Seat, kind of controversial. Can you describe it for those who have not seen it?
Window Seat.
Yeah.
Well, I pull up to Dealey Plaza at a parking meter, and I get out, and I have some clothes on, and I put some money in a meter, and as I get closer and closer to the spot where JF Kennedy was assassinated, God rest his soul, I was nude by that time.
You just take, yeah, I've watched it a couple times. Well, a couple dozen, because I wanted to prepare for this interview. And
Anybody say get out from way from that grassy knoll?
Yeah, they said a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you got in trouble as much for, I guess, being naked in public. Or for some sort of perceived disrespect, but also because you didn't ask anybody if you could do this, right? You just showed up and did it.
Well, in my video, as I walked slow, and I was petrified.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because I felt like I was overweight at the time. But that's the only reason. Really.
Not really. Otherwise.
But
I'm really not in. Oh man, I'd love to do that. I'm just not in sudden public nudity shape right now. Let me.
Right.
Right.
It was a guerrilla style video. It was shot guerrilla style. You know, that means there's one camera. There's, you know, one direction. We walk, and after I'm totally nude, we run.
So in the video, you get out of your car, you walk over, you take off your clothes, you get naked, you lie down on the spot where you collapse.
Right.
As if you've been shot on the spot where Kennedy was shot. And then when you finish it, you just got up and ran?
I did. I would have gotten away quicker, but the minivan pulled up on the wrong side of the street, so I had to actually run around.
So you're running. So you actually had to do a lap? You had to do a lap around Dealey Plaza naked? I love this. I love this. You have children, and you told the story about how you wanted to let your kids know what you were going to do before you did it.
I did. And I just wanted their, you know, support and love because, you know, their mom's a celebrity and there could be a chance that they could be asked questions or teased or anything. And my son, who's the oldest, told me, if people ask me anything, I'll just say my mother was having fun.
My
mom's a good guy. She's a good guy.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter said, I want a cookie.
There you go. Well, Erica Badu, it is a pleasure to talk to you. And we have asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
Tall, courtly newscaster with deep, resonant voice and comforting manner seeks same.
It is Valentine's Day next week, and if you don't have a date, don't worry. There's help for everybody out there, and I mean everybody. BuzzFeed just posted a list of 50 dating sites for very specific types of people. We're going to ask you three questions about the wide world of specialized dating.
Okay.
Get two out of three right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who's Erica Badu playing for?
Erica is playing for Ginger Lehrfeld of Dallas, Texas.
There you go, a local.
All right.
Which of these, first, you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Which of these is a real dating site for someone who wants to make sure their partner shares their favorite enthusiasm? Mm-hmm. Is it A, MorrisDanceLoverLovers.org, B, FarmersOnly.com, or C, BeMyLittlePony.com?
I think Farmers Only.
Farmers Only?
Yeah.
You're right, FarmersOnly.com. Now, you might think to yourself, Farmers Only, that sounds dry, but no, FarmersOnly.com has its own jingle. Listen to this.
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
There you go. Farmers, you know what to do. All right, that was very good. Next question. There was one site that struck us as admirable for its honesty in its presentation. What is it?
Okay.
Was it A, someone to listen, which hooks up the self-involved with the shy? B, the ugly bug ball for ugly people? Or C, the dating site for really, really, really old people called carbondating.com?
I like that.
You do? I do too, I have to tell you.
What's the second one?
Second one was the ugly bug ball for ugly people.
Oh. I'd go there.
All right, you're going with the ugly bug ball. You're right, of course, the ugly bug ball.
Yeah.
Whoa! Is the site. It's slogan, real dating for real people.
Yeah.
So don't you laugh. Here we go. Well, you're doing really well here, Erica.
I am.
There's a website, of course, for cat fanciers who want to date other cat fanciers.
Okay.
You know there'd be one.
Right.
But what is it called? Is it called A, personals, B, fur always, or C, the cat house?
Cat lover site.
Cat lover site.
Personal.
Of course it was. Personal.
Wow.
The name of the site?
Personal.
Carl, how did Erica Badu do in our quiz?
Well, she was
perfect. Oh, I bet you were.
She had three correct answers, so she wins for Ginger Lehrfeld. Congratulations.
Congratulations,
Ginger.
You are. Erica Badu's latest album is New America Part 2, Return of the Ankh. She's performing a concert on her birthday, February 26th, at the House of Blues here in Dallas. Erica Badu, what a pleasure. Thank you
so
much for joining us. Erica Badu, ladies and gentlemen. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. Ally Bank, who believes in getting more from your news and your money, offering money market accounts. Learn more at allybank.com. And Comité Champagne, with a reminder that while sparkling wines come from all over the world, champagne comes from Champagne, France, at champagne.us. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Tom Baudet, and Kerry O'Connor. And here again is your host at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in Dallas, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, in our listener limerick challenge, Carl plays tribute to his favorite Dallas Cowboy quarterback, Tony Romo. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Tom, we first heard about the Pakistani town of Abbottabad when the CIA discovered that was where Osama bin Laden was hiding out. Well, the town is trying to move on from that shame by doing what?
They've opened up a theme park, Abbottabad Land.
That's exactly right. They're going to open up an amusement park.
You can't make this stuff up fast enough.
Apparently. What do you do?
Guess.
Were you kidding?
I was guessing. I was making it up because I didn't know the answer.
You were right.
I thought, because it's Abbottabad, I thought they were going to change their name to Abbottagood.
No.
What do you do if you're the place famous as where the most wanted mass murderer in the modern world hid for years, completely unnoticed? Build an amusement park. It worked so well for Berlin, where Hitlerland has been such a hit. Maybe they need to use their moment of fame as the theme for the amusement park. Welcome to Osama World, where you can go on rides like Zero Dark Thrilly, or try water slide boarding. It's an enhanced recreational technique. And the great thing is, at the end of every ride, you can buy a grainy videotape of yourself to send to Al Jazeera.
I just wondered, every time they got, like, whenever there was a, you know, a film from bin Laden, they always said, well, we got it from Al Jazeera. And I always thought that a good CIA technique would be to ask the people at Al Jazeera where they got it. Yeah, as soon as the Senate confirmation hearings start having a part where they have tweeted questions from the citizens...
You're going to say...
I'm going to send that one in, I think.
Well, you know what's really bothered me about these Senate hearings all week is they keep talking about these extrajudicial killings, right? Well, extrajudicial sounds like it would be like a really good thing. You know,
well, it's
like
not just super, judicial, it's extrajudicial.
Yes, it's extra... Like, but see, that's... It's not like extra crispy.
No.
Although it can be that, too.
Yeah, apparently. Kerry, John Kerry is now our Secretary of State. Good luck to him. And he says that unlike his predecessor, he will tweet personally. One problem, though, what?
One problem is he doesn't have a device that he can tweet on, no?
He'll just be shouting.
Yeah.
Hashtag diplomacy. What? No.
I need a hint.
You'll need a hint. Well, it's how he's going to sign them.
There's, oh, JK.
JK, exactly. He's going to sign his tweets and JK. JK is John Kerry's initials, of course, but it's also the common abbreviation on Twitter and email for just kidding.
Oh.
Just kidding, which by coincidence was the official slogan of John Kerry's 2004 presidential campaign. So
I have a hard time imagining him saying anything in 140 characters.
Yeah, I
or
know.
Less, too.
Yeah.
I have a hard time imagining him kidding.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like no matter what he's saying, it'll seem like he's ending it with just kidding. So it'll be like, North Korea has just launched a nuclear weapon. Oh, no! JK. Oh, good. Wait. Oh, no!
Does he not have a middle name? I mean, why can't he just use... Oh, he could just use three initials, problems on.
I'll let him know. Or we, the rest of the world, could start saying John Kerry instead of just kidding. So it would be like, man, that dress makes you look awfully fat. John Kerry.
I've lived my life with the initials TB, so I sympathize with you.
Let me tell you something. Pap hasn't been easy.
Yeah, that is a smear, Paula.
Yeah.
I don't...
Yes.
Come Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can also find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and on the road. And you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to get totally pumped for the State of the Union. Of the Union. It's exciting. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Becca Hall from Mercer Island, Washington.
Oh, Mercer Island, beautiful island out there in outside Seattle.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
I am a reservationist for Sky City Restaurant at the Space Needle.
You are the reservationist for the restaurant on top of the Space Needle?
Yes.
That is awesome. You hold the keys to eating in the Space Needle. Space Needle.
Yeah. Do you serve noodles in the needle?
Well, Becca, welcome to the show. Carl Castle is now going to read you three news-related limericks. In your honor, he'll rotate while doing it. Of course, he won't finish them. Your job is to do that. Do that two times out of three, and you'll win our game. Ready to play?
Yes.
Here is our first limerick.
My doctor gave me a sly look. As he leafed through my chart, his head shook. Your depression is bad. There's no drugs to be had. I'm prescribing you read a good
book.
Yes, a good book. Doctors in England will soon start prescribing their patients the most disappointing drugs ever, books. Starting this year, public libraries across Britain will house a list of doctor-approved books intending to help people with mood problems, anger, worry, eating disorders. For example, are you eating too much? Try reading The Jungle. Here is your next limerick.
An outhouse endorsed by my vet is the best public works project yet. I'm leaving my stoop without baggies or scoop, because there's bathrooms out there for my
pet.
Right, pet. China is opening up more than 1,000 public pet restrooms in the city of Shenzhen, apparently unaware that pets already have a public restroom known as the entire world.
Can you imagine the? A public restroom, like a men's room in a city, is
yeah.
one thing. That's yeah. one level of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And imagine the shape, the ones that the dogs use. Actually, it probably couldn't
probably
be worse. Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad.
I'm just happy because you know how there are men, and the men listening will know what I mean. All the time you spent waiting outside ladies' rooms, waiting for your girlfriend or wife or female companion to just finish up and come back out. Now women will be able to appreciate that, standing outside the pet restrooms, waiting for their pets to come out.
Well, the difference is, you know, when you're waiting for your wife, you can't do what you do when you're waiting for your dog, which is go poop, come on, go poop, go poop.
I'm glad you don't do that, Tom, but there are guys who do that. Apparently it's a major symptom in a lot of divorces.
All right, here is your last limerick.
I used to retreat like a turtle, but now to the bedroom I hurtle. When in-laws drop by, the egg count is high. When her mom's near, my wife is more
fertile.
Yes, indeed, fertile. Turns out the closer you live to your parents, the greater likelihood of your getting pregnant. British researchers have found the prospect of free childcare has a real physiological effect. This is true on your reproductive system. So tonight, when you're trying to conceive with your partner, just think as hard as you can of your mom and dad being quite nearby.
Putin ought to work that into his mix over there.
Carl, how did Becca do in our quiz?
Well, Rebecca gets congratulations, Peter. You had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for playing. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now on to the final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Kerry O'Connor has the lead. Peter, she has 5 points. Tom Beaudet has 2. Paula Poundstone, 1.
All right.
Peter, I'd like to go first.
I think I can accommodate you, Paula. Since you are in third place, you'll go first.
I was hoping you wouldn't say it if I just...
I understand.
This is going to be such a come-from-behind victory.
It's really... Not a problem. Paula, here we go. They're rooting for you.
I'm ready.
You're in third place. You'll go first. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank.
I'm in third place, aren't I, Peter?
You are, Paula. There's no need to really just dwell on it. Let's just move on.
Yeah. I am third.
Testifying on Capitol Hill on Thursday, Leon Panetta defended the military response to the attacks on the consulate in blank last year.
Benghazi.
Right.
I'm in third.
On Tuesday, computer company blank announced it was taking a $24.4 billion buyout and going private.
Dell.
Yes. Bill Clinton and Michael Bloomberg were among those who spoke at the funeral this week for former New York Mayor Blank.
Koch.
Yes, Ed Koch. Paramedics in New South Wales announced this week that they'd been called out this year to treat as many blanks as shark bites.
As many people with those plastic soda holders around their neck.
No. As many guinea pig bites as shark bites.
Oh,
last weekend,
yes.
Last weekend at the Super Bowl halftime show, the other members of Destiny's Child joined superstar Blank on stage.
Beyonce.
Yes, Scottish Terrier Barney, the former first dog belonging to Blank, died last week at age 84 in dog years.
George Bush.
Exactly right. George W. Bush, according to a restaurant in Japan.
Who was 340 in dog years.
Exactly.
I'm in third place, Peter. Let's go.
Here we go. Just waiting for a moment to leap in. According to a restaurant in Japan, Blank could be the next hot food trend.
Oh, I do know this. Housefly.
No. Dirt.
Yes, that's right. I put you in fourth place, Peter.
The restaurant, which is called Nekite Pa, has a new menu filled with dirt, salad with dirt dressing, oriental clams with a top layer of sediment, and for dessert, dirt ice cream. The dirt is made of volcanic ashes mixed with soil and plants. One problem for the restaurant, a lot of the patrons have been sending dishes back because the plates have specks of food on them.
Wow.
Carl, how did Paula do?
Paula had 5 correct answers. Peter, for 10 more points, she now has 11 points and has moved from third to first place.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Tom, you are up next. Fill in the blank. After an earthquake struck offshore Wednesday, rescuers went to the aid of villages in the Solomon Islands that were hit by a blank.
A tsunami.
Right. As of Tuesday, the Royal Canadian Mint officially stopped making and distributing blank.
Muskox.
No. Pennies. No more pennies in Canada. On Wednesday, the Boy Scouts of America delayed a vote on admitting blanks until May.
Gays.
Right. After extensive study, scientists have determined that just like cats, the insects known as aphids always blank.
Land on their feet.
Aren't they clever? Budweiser, yes, announced this week that fans had voted to name the baby blank, featured in its Super Bowl ad, Hope.
Oh, geez. Was it the little horse?
Yeah, no, which is a kind of...
Clydesdale.
Clydesdale, yes.
Right.
On Tuesday, Punxsutawney Phil, Staten Island Chuck, Jimmy the Groundhog, and other groundhogs across the nation predicted blank.
That we were going to have 6 more weeks of winter.
No, in early spring this time. A brawl broke out at a highly anticipated...
Oh, wait, wouldn't that be early? I mean, it's only 6 weeks from now.
No.
Right.
A brawl broke out at a highly anticipated strip show in Wales when a fabulous stripper named Fabio was replaced at the last minute with blank.
With Andrew Wiener.
No. With a stripper named Leon Zabidowski.
I can see the
ladies
problem.
Came expecting to see Fabio, not that Fabio, but an even more fabulously young, handsome Fabio, when out walked 29-year-old Leon Zabidowski, wearing gray sweatpants and suspenders. One attendee told the Daily Telegraph, quote, he looked like he had come off the street, he was unshaven, and he didn't have a six-pack. In fact, he looked like he had been hit in the face with a wok, unquote.
I was close.
Instead of his dance routine, Leon stood there while the woman heckled him, and an enormous brawl broke out, all this before Leon could perform the famous full Zabidowski. Weird fact. He was born Cody Steele, but when he became a stripper, he changed his name to Leo Zabidowski. How did Tom do in our quiz?
Tom had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points, but Paula still has the lead with 11.
Yeah. All right, so how many then does Kerry need to win this and uphold the honor of Texas?
3 to tie, and 4 to win outright.
Okay, Curie, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. In order to avoid the sequester coming up on March 1st, blank called for short-term spending cuts and tax reform this week.
President Obama.
Exactly right. According to a poll by Quinnipiac University, more than 90% of U.S. voters are in favor of background checks for all blank buyers.
Gun.
Yes, on Wednesday, the FAA approved a one-time-only flight of Boeing's grounded blank from Texas to Washington.
787 Dreamliner.
Yes, the confirmation hearings for John Brennan, President Obama's pick to head the blank, began Thursday.
CIA.
Yes, a family in Brazil was surprised to find their healthy pet tortoise in a back room of their house because blank.
He died.
No, because they lost her over 30 years ago.
Whoa.
Wow.
Animal Planet announced that a record 12.4 million viewers tuned in to watch The Blank last Sunday.
Puppy Bowl.
The Puppy Bowl. This week, Malaysian Airlines announced it would now be offering a blank-free zone on their flights.
Kid-free?
Kid-free zone. A restaurant owner in Norfolk, England, is defending his right to sell what he calls the kids' breakfast consisting of blank.
Beer.
No. The kids' breakfast consists of 12 pieces of bacon, 12 sausages, 6 eggs, 4 slices of bread and butter, 4 slices of toast, 4 slices of fried bread, 2 hash browns, an 8 egg, cheese, and potato omelet, sauteed potatoes, beans, and tomatoes. The breakfast at Jester's Diner is called the kids' breakfast, not because it's for kids, but because it weighs as much as a kid. The restaurant owner calls it a once-in-a-lifetime challenge, which I don't think anyone is arguing with, because if you get it down, that's the end of your life. Carl, how did Curie do? Did she do well enough to win?
She needed 4 to win outright. She had 6 correct answers. So
there
with
it is.
17 points, Curie O'Connor is this week's champion.
Sorry, Paul.
Show off.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that we've found Richard III, in what unexpected place will the next historical figure be discovered? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, insurance for the modern world, offering car insurance tools to guide customers from quote to claim, online or via mobile at eSurance.com. Charles Schwab, providing retirement options for a tomorrow that is wide open. Learn more at schwab.com/retirement. And Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Wait, don't tell me. Is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. And the executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Tex Danforth. Now, panel, who is the next historical figure to be discovered in some unexpected place? Paula Poundstone.
They will find Ben Franklin wrapped in a bed of forever stamps under a raised rural post office on a Saturday.
Tom Baudet.
The remains of biblical murder victim Abel discovered just outside of Paradise, Florida. CSI Tampa will determine that Cain didn't do it.
And Curie O'Connor.
The bones of Mongol leader Genghis Khan will be found at the home of a hoarder.
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carol Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Tom Baudet, and Curie O'Connor. Thanks to the crew here at the AT&T Performing Arts Center and the Winspear Opera House. Thanks to everyone at KERA in Dallas. Thanks to our fabulous audience here in Dallas. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you back home, Chicago, Illinois, next week. This is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.